Good afternoon, Mr. James.
Good afternoon, Mr. Buck.
As the clock strikes midday.
It is officially the afternoon hours.
Here we are again.
Neither of us drink anymore, but what is an appropriate hour to start on the booze?
Now.
Yeah, I agree.
Get on it. Get on it, lads.
So, yeah, I always felt 12 was about right.
Yeah, I think so.
I never
I like
liked.
11 on special occasions.
Do you think? Were you a big fan of airport breakfast beer?
No.
Me neither. What the fuck are you doing?
No. I mean, I would do it, but
Not
it's
by
just a bit early.
choice.
But what I am a big fan of is sitting in Wetherspoons in an airport and listening to groups of lads at like 6 a.m. discuss their tactics for the day. And there's always like a ringleader who's like, really, come on, let's get the beers. And then there's always at least one who's like going along with it, but a little bit kind of like putting in their excuses for the day.
Right, or trying to slightly mitigate it,
Yeah,
like
exactly.
yeah, but like fucking, I don't go and order shots, Dave. Dave, is he at
Yeah, exactly. Are
the
we still going to the museum this afternoon?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to get too drunk because I won't be able to concentrate on a stadium tour because I want to find that I really want to make sure I see the Barcelona dressing rooms and like, I'm not
Exactly.
like throwing up in the toilets because this is big for me. I've never been to the Camp Nou.
Yeah, exactly that. Anyway, shall I we've managed to tangent instantly. Let's play the intro music. Here we are.
Okay.
That was the intro music.
Welcome to the world famous See My Dad podcast. My name is James,
My name is Matt.
and we are the second greatest alternative music and culture based podcast on the planet, presented by two lads. That's who we are.
You've added culture into it.
Yeah, because that's what we're doing today, right? I'm led to believe we're doing something cultural.
Led to believe. Yeah,
Yeah.
we've got a guest.
Right. They're turning up in a few minutes. So we're in, for those of us who are familiar with the Emo Dad guest experience, there's like a green room period where Matt and I chill out and we just let it all hang out a little bit and we get mentally prepared. And then the guest drops in at an unspecified, well, we've specified a time, but you never know if it's quite going to happen. And then we start, and then it's like, company's arrived, so I have to put my proper face on and not be quite as chaotic as I normally am.
And this is like the worst time because there's not enough time to start a proper conversation,
Right.
but we still have 6 minutes to fill.
Right, exactly. So what, how did you find this person to
Well, I was walking down the street
Yep.
and this person, Alex, contacted
Alex.
us
Oh,
and said,
okay.
hey there guys, I've made a documentary. I don't want to give too much away,
Oh.
but I guess we can say what the documentary is,
Yeah.
about P Rock,
Right.
the infamous music channel from the early 2000s. Yeah, early
Yes.
2000s. So Alex has made a documentary about that, and she messaged us and said, "Would you like?" W oh, no, she didn't say that. She said, "Would I be able to come onto the podcast and
Oh.
chat about the documentary I've made.
Do you...
And I was like, what are you doing Wednesday at 12 o'clock?
Has question. Has do you so there's a strong chance she's heard us.
There's also a strong chance she hasn't.
Interesting. Jeopardy. Jeopardy or prior warning?
What was your point of her having heard us? That's a hard sentence to say.
Having had, I just always want to know if, like, how familiar they are with the Emo Dad universe.
Are they prepared for this?
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, do they know what they're getting into? That's all I want to know. Because because I just want to know if it's like, if like we've been like, I just want to know if they know what they're getting into.
Well, I don't tell them any potential guest the truth about what they're getting into, because then no one would speak to us, which, to be fair, has been the case in recent times anyway. As
Yeah, I think the word's out.
the emo dad world has grown, you'd think it would be easier to get guests, but I feel like our reputation has spread across the emo and alternative punk rock scene, and therefore no one wants to talk to us anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Do you think that they've Do you think we need to do some kind of marketing presentation that says, if you come on the Emo Dad podcast, your streams will go up by zero? If
They go down.
your streams will go down. If you come on Emo Dad, your social media mentions will go up by one. If you come on Emo Dad, your reputation and prospects will be burnt forever. Those kind of, like sort of a, like a, I don't know if you've ever seen these, but like these kind of, they have these pitches that like proper media companies do to try and sell you something, where they you get charts, you get stats and pie charts and figures that are a bit questionable, trying to, like sell you. Like, we have a reach of 12 billion people. Well, that's interesting because there's only 9 billion on the planet. So explain. You counted people twice.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, we should do that. Basically, just lie is what you're saying.
Correct. I think like almost like the truth of world famous emo data.
I like to think that there's conversations had in, like smoke-filled shithole green rooms in venues across the world between bands, where they'll be like, I don't know, the lads in arm's length will be sitting down chewing the fat with the good folk of Carly Cosgrove, and they'll be like, oh, we've just been invited onto this podcast, and the good people in Carly Cosgrove go, oh, we did that. Stay away. And then, like, and then the a week later, arm's length are talking to Ben Quad, and they're like, oh, well, the Carly Cosgrove told us not to, yeah.
Yeah, you're explaining the concepts of rumors.
Well, are they rumors if it's true?
People talk. I would say that Carly Cosgrove had the time of their lives.
You stand by that.
I say, well, I have no information to confirm nor deny that
I saw them.
that is true. You were there.
I was
Yes.
part of the madness. But yeah, I like to think that that's something that happens either positively or negatively.
See, as far as I'm concerned, that was still my finest hour. So you know, I don't care what they thought.
Yeah, no, I go with that.
I was my greatest performance. And if you want to go and listen to that, that is available on all platforms. Just search Emo Dad and Carly Crossgrove, and see what you get.
See what you get.
Do you think if I resurrected, because we've got the video for that one, haven't we? If I like turn that into like a thing and put it online, they'll might be angry. We have to get permission. I think we probably have to get permission, right?
Yeah, don't. It's not worth it.
Don't know why he doesn't, listeners. I don't know why he doesn't want to revisit my triumphs.
So we have someone in the green room.
All right, I'm going to shut up.
Well, don't shut up too much because there's always like a delay between me pressing admit and them actually being able to talk.
Oh, right. Yeah, before I interview them about their whatever I can see in their room.
Oh yeah, okay. Is that you going to do that?
Not if you don't want me
No, you can
to.
do it just so that I'm aware.
No, I'm going to try. Unless, depends how interesting it
You have to do it now, otherwise, because
All
you've
right.
said it,
No,
otherwise,
I know.
it's
No, I
going to be
know.
rude if you don't do
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
I'm excited to see what we get now. I keep fiddling with my hat. I don't know why.
Is it too
Connecting to
small?
audio. My hat.
Okay. Oh,
Or my
my God.
head.
Oh, hello.
Hello!
Oh, hello. Hello. Oh, am I getting rid of him? He could stay there.
Wow, what is that behind you?
That's Tim. He's a
Tim.
puppet.
He's a puppet.
Yeah, Tim the wizard.
Okay, fine.
I live in a houseboat, so I have to make sure I have an eccentric background.
I love it.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
And we've also got, what's his name, from Nightmare Christmas up in the top right
Yeah,
for us.
Jack.
Yeah, there you go, that way. Yeah,
Yeah.
Jack. Welcome to Jack. And that's
Jack
it.
and
That's
Tim.
it. My review of the background is over. Normally when we get a
Yeah.
guest, I review their background heavily. But you jumped in before me and got in and gave us context. And that's important and I liked it. But so I'm gonna shut up now.
So you
Okay.
no, I've
Again.
got more questions about the boat.
Got po porthole.
You've got a porthole.
Yeah.
What's on it? A
A
fish.
fish.
Obvs.
Yeah. So we made like little pucks, and then covered them in wallpaper that had fish on. But then we also were like, oh, it kind of looks like we've sunk. But I guess that's what it looks like now.
That was going to be my next question. Are you like underwater?
No, luckily still floating.
And how long have you lived on a houseboat for? Because that's quite
Since
exciting.
January last year, so relatively new to it. But had some friends that have done it and stuff, so had a lot of people we could ask questions to, which is good.
Cool. We should introduce you.
Yeah. I know, just straight out the gate. Like, don't know my name, but know where I live.
Great. Alex, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's an absolute pleasure. So I'll give like a very kind of vague introduction, but of course we'll get you to kind of explain a bit further. So you very kindly got in touch because you have made a documentary about P-Rock, the TV channel. Correct? You're
Yes,
like,
the
yes,
documentary
that is
about P
correct.
TV. Yes.
Which obviously we're gonna talk at length about and quiz you all about it. But first of all, can you just start by giving us a little bit of kind of telling us a little bit about yourself and maybe your background and how you came about to make a documentary about P-Rock?
Yeah, so I'm Alex, so I work in film and television mostly. I do started out as a runner and a lot of like music videos and things like that, and sort of worked my way up into camera operating and documentary stuff, and also work on some of the big movies with like Warner Brothers and things, where I make their making of content. So what would be on the second disc of a DVD, if people still bought DVDs. But also there is a so the reason why I made the P-Rock documentary, which also I think is quite good for the Emo Dad podcast, is it's my dad was one of the guys that founded the P-Rock TV. So I very much grew up with it. It was on constantly in the house in order to make sure it was still working, because they didn't know
Ha
what they were doing. Basically, the my dad, Mark, Russell, and Lowell were the three guys behind it. And yeah, they had no television experience, so it was very much like if you'd heard it go off, you had to alert everybody. So I had it constantly on in the house, to the point where probably my rebellion was that I like. My teenage years were listening to like folk music and stuff because I just had a solid year of non-stop P-Rock. So yeah, that was kind of it became a taboo in the house because it went away for lots of kind of annoying reasons, like big people suing them for no reason, all this kind of stuff. So it wasn't really like spoken about in the house, but
Okay.
I know that from looking online and stuff that people were really interested in knowing what happened. So yeah, it took quite a few years of being like, can I do it now? Can I do it now? Can I tell the story? And yeah, and then finally we managed to start making it happen in 2022 is when we started making the doc.
Okay, and if you don't mind me asking, how old were you when P-Rock was on the TV?
I was 7 or 8, so I was young.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like having to, you know, I had to sacrifice, what would you be watching at 7 or 8, Teletubbies or something like that, in order to in order to be like part of the business of, you know, watching it and making sure it was still going around and things. And yeah, I think sometimes, you know, my nan and granddad would come around and babysit me, and all of a sudden, like, they'll put it onto Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and dad will come running in like, no, you can't, like, you have to put it back, you know. And it's quite funny actually, we see that in a lot of the archive, that we used to just leave VHS tapes running and recording it. And then when I was watching, we digitized them all recently and for the doc, obviously, and watched them back. And sometimes within that, because obviously it was just a pure screen recording, like the, you know, the Sky Channel TV guide would come up, and all of a sudden it turned to horse racing. And then all of a sudden there'd be like a very quick, abrupt, the sky would come up and it would go back to P-Rock TV. So I could remember all the conversations of that happening in the house and stuff.
I absolutely love this idea that your family had to make sure that it was playing at all times. That is hilarious. So you
Yeah,
weren't
I know. I
so
think for a
so
lot of, oh, sorry.
so you basically couldn't really turn it, you couldn't watch anything else. You were forced. I guess that helped the ratings.
Yeah. Most of it was just our household. But yeah, it was very much like a family affair, because I know that Russell's wife helped like catalogue a lot of the stuff, and you know, because it was just the three of them, and normally you have like big offices that run channels like that. So it was very much like, you know, all hands on deck to get it up and running and keep it going.
That's mad. So your dad, who sounds from what I've read like quite the character,
Yeah.
so why did he decide to do this?
Yeah, I mean, so at the time it was so Lowell, who was Moonscar Europe, was like basically came to them with the idea, because at that point there was only MTV in Kerrang, and Kerrang was very much known for sort of playing the same 10 music videos. And even though it was, you know, alternative and things, you still had to be signed to a major label or something like that to get on there. And there were loads of obviously ex amazing bands around back then, and this was pre-YouTube as well, because YouTube was like 2005 and P-Rock was 2003, so there was like no way really of seeing music videos and things like that. So it was about coming up with the bare minimum you need to start a channel, and then yeah, those guys came on board to sort of help do it. So yeah, it was about kind of seeing a hole in the market and just feeling like there was a missed opportunity with television and those kind of like getting bands that don't get a lot of representation out there. And yeah, and they had all the contacts and things to sort of start making it happen.
Okay, so I assume your dad was into that sort of music.
Yeah, he was he was part of like the like not skinheads, but that kind of movement back then. He went to like the Sex Pistol. Tell me he didn't get involved with it, but I bet he did have a few fights. And then yeah, and sort of he was like his job was very corporate, but obviously he always loved sort of doing all that stuff on the side. So he taught himself drums, and he actually drummed for Bad Manners a few times and things. So he's
Oh,
always
wow.
just sort of loved that music scene. And then it was more Russell and Lowell where like their actual jobs were within the music industry, and then my dad just sort of loved it, but had that like corporate brain that sort of helped with that side of doing it, but still had lots of creative ideas. Like between them, they all had arguments about what bands should go on and should not go on and all that kind of thing. So yeah, it was a proper kind of collaboration.
How, like, me and James were obsessed with like logistics and stuff. Like, I'm just one, like, how do you even do that? How do you even start, just decide I'm gonna start a channel? Like, what are the steps? I don't know if you even know the answer to this, but what are the steps from like the idea to it actually appearing on the TV?
Yeah, so there's a few. I mean, let me go into it a little bit in the dark, but it is basically like you buy a spot and then you buy a number. So like
Right.
you like used to have to put like a number in the Sky remote to find a
Yep.
channel, so you have to buy that place,
Right.
and then you go to like a transmitting place where you then have all the stuff, and that means you it was basically like you buy the frequency that then it gets sent out of, and with that buying that frequency you buy the you don't buy it, you rent the kit. It's all renting, sorry. So I say buy, but I mean rent. You rent the signal and you rent the space that then puts it out. So they kind of knew that like MTV had the monopoly on channels and things, so they said that they were a teleshopping channel. And then they actually got put into like a place that all teleshopping stuff was. So all the people around them were like selling things, and then they were like putting out punk music videos. So yeah, that's sort of how it is. And then you have to like catalog stuff, and everything's given its own individual number that then gets put through, and then that's how a certain video comes after another video and after another video. And then yeah, and then they decide people at that point. It was literally like my dad says, like if MTV and that were getting their music videos sent to them by courier, like P-Rock was getting them sent to them by pigeon. So it was a bit like sort of very, things are coming in slowly at the beginning, but then it built. I think as people knew what the channel was, people were sending in VHS tapes and beta, beta discs and that kind of thing, with the music videos on, and then it was just about selecting them and cataloging them really. So that's the kind of like rough trajectory of how you get a channel, but yeah.
Can you still do this?
Oh,
I feel like you can't. I yeah, I think I to be honest, even if you can, I just think nobody watches actual TV anymore anyways. Even if you put the money in, you probably wouldn't get
oh,
as
don't
much
crush
out of
my
it.
dreams, Alex. Don't crush
I
my dreams. I was
was
all excited. I'm
I'll
thinking
support
Emo
you.
Dad T. Can we do it? Emo Dad TV. Matt, can
Yeah.
we? Write it down.
Have it
Emo.
constantly on in the background in my boat.
Yeah. So I've got my channel. Got my number. 666 is my number for my Emo Dad TV, right? And I've got my space, right? And then I've got lovely bands sending me things. Do I then have to send my VHS and my Betamax tapes to Sky to then upload to the place? And then I understand now. So, and then you have to watch it to make sure that they're supposed to be playing Rancid at 4 a.m. Have they played Rancid at 4 a.m.?
Yeah, that's it's but so from what I know of it was that they had to catalog it, and they pressed the button, as in they as in my dad and all that press the buttons here. So actually Sky doesn't then have a lot to do with it, and they
Oh.
and that was how like they managed to get away with actually saying they were a teleshopping channel, and then their test broadcast, was all punk videos, but obviously Sky just didn't even look at the test broadcast. So Sky aren't really looking, and until there's like a major issue coming forward, as far as it seemed at the time, like for the doc, we tried to find people from Sky and stuff to talk, but nobody wanted to. So, well, they didn't. To be honest, we didn't get any explicit no's. We were just very much ignored. So, we don't know for sure that that was all kind of how it was. But from what it looked like, it was like Sky just weren't looking at them basically, to see any of this happening. But yeah, it's pretty much all happens in there because that was issues as well, that like there's very clear watershed stuff with TV. So if you accidentally put the wrong video on, like someone's neck's getting ripped out at like 9 in the morning when a kid's show should be on, like that's quite a big thing. And again, Sky won't really know that unless someone complains, but obviously you don't want to. And as much as they were like punk and stuff, they still didn't want to be like shut down. So you there is, you know, there's still
Right.
some rules that you want to follow, so you can just carry on doing it. So yeah, that was always a thing as well, that making sure there weren't like boobs and butts and stuff at times that there shouldn't be.
So from what I'm hearing, when we start Emo Dad TV, I can do whatever I want until somebody complains. That's what I've heard. Good. Good. Good tips.
If it was 2003, I don't know for sure if it'd be the same now, but
That what
so
you need to
when
know, Alex, about James is he's like flying forwards with this idea, and it's our job to hold him back and kind of
okay.
stop him.
So when I launched my TV channel, right, just like your dad, like were they weren't were they how did they think anybody would listen? Or did they do any promo, or were they like, we'll just turn it on and see what happens?
No, I think I think they knew it would become successful, but I don't think they knew it would become successful so quickly. It was like
Okay.
literally like instantly in the first week they had like 600,000 viewers. So I think that's why like it was a bit of a shock in a way that I think they thought they were going to have some time to figure stuff out, and but then all
Yeah.
of a sudden there was just like humongous audience like instantly. So because it was so different, and I think also like the actual channel felt DIY because they didn't know what they were doing, but it's that kind of aesthetic in a way that like I think people could just tell it was something real and not something corporate. So I just think people latched onto it quite quickly, as well as obviously music being what they wanted to listen to and quite different than the other channels.
Did they have I'm like racking my brain because I remember watching it, and I also remember now you mentioned it sitting amongst the shopping channels because I was like, what? They've put it in the wrong place. But what I can't remember, so obviously there was music videos. Was there any kind of like other content on there? Like I'm racking my brains.
No, so it was just music videos. They had
Right.
some they occasionally had like adverts for Moonscar
Okay.
tours and stuff, and there was quite a fun one where it was like a train announcement. So, you know, and it was a really long advert that just sort of like a train announcement said everywhere that the tour was going, Over the Moon tour. But yeah, it was just music videos. I think the aim was if it went on longer, it'd be like, you know, some sit down questions with people, or like going into, you know, Warped Tour or Slam Dunk or something, and interviewing people. But yeah, at that time, it was just music videos.
Okay.
So
James, you look like.
what I'm hearing is we can promote other parts of the world famous Emo Dad universe. That's what I'm hearing when we do. Well, that's good. That's good. We can promote a tour that we don't have, and bands that we don't have signed to Emo Dad Records. That's good. So we should
Multiverse.
probably, we do have a multiverse. We absolutely do. In one where I actually interview people instead of just talking about whatever I want to talk about. That's definitely, and as a documentary maker, you will know that that's not what you're supposed to do. So we should probably talk about some of these bands, right? So who was on? Because I was I 2003. I didn't have a TV. So I missed this entire journey, which is not helpful. Not helpful. But who was on? Who was on the TV channel for those of us who were too young or busy to remember what was going on?
Yeah, so they mixed kind of the big American pop bands, pop
Okay.
punk bands, with the British ones. So you would have, and it was quite kind of tactical that they would show like a Green Day, and then straight after it would be a Sponge or Whitmore, or or then it might be, and then it would go to a Bouncing Souls or things like that. So it would be like trying to introduce bands that maybe you weren't able to find, and that kind of like American scene actually in Britain was a lot bigger than our own scene, just because they were being promoted more. So it kind of brought people in that way. But and then it had, they had like Pure Ska, like they had the Toasters and Zen Baseball Bat and things, and 4 Foot Fingers, the British bands. King Prawn were like quite a big one that were on it. What else was on it? Oh, NoFX was a big one, because they weren't, their music videos weren't, they'd sort of put a thing where they didn't want MTV and the big corporations like showing their music videos. So P-Rock was the first channel that got to show NoFX videos. So that was quite a big thing for them as well. And it was like Dropkick Murphys, trying to think of other ones. Mighty Mighty Bosstones, like lots of sort of different things. But they also, like, while they were waiting to sort of that early stage where they didn't have lots of music videos, they did show some like hip hop as well. So it's like Public Enemy and Dr. Green Thumb and some stuff like that. There was like a one Eminem video that sort of came on every now and then. So it was sort of like they did pad it out with some of that kind of stuff as well. But yeah, it was quite a kind of mix of what you would expect on like a Tony Hawk's game. That was the kind of vibe of the channel.
All right. So what I'm hearing is there's an opportunity to create a P-Rock cover band, much
That would be
in the
sick.
way that there is to create the Tony Hawk cover bands. So that's good. We'll sign up, Matt. I'm putting that down as the first band on Emo Dad Records. Just
There
run
we
a
go.
P-Rock cover band. Good. That's good. Writing that idea down.
That's a great idea.
And did the members of these bands become mates with your dad and the other lads running the channel?
No, actually. So a lot of them knew Lol
Oh.
because some of them were from Moonscar, but it was always a bit of a like an aloof to who was like, or it was a
Oh.
mystery who was running the channel. So a lot of like Lol met some of them, but for the most part, even then, though, I don't think Lowell met the he only met the ones that he signed. So obviously, there's a lot of bands on there that hadn't been signed. And Russell used to work for Epitaph Records, so he'd met a few of the bands and things. But for the most part, it was very much like nobody really knew who was behind it. I think my dad was probably the one that met the least of them, so he's got to meet most of them now, which is nice, by doing like the screenings that we've done and all that kind of thing, which has been nice. But yeah, it was very much like we have this whole like bit in the documentary where it's everyone's like conspiracy theories of who like ran the channel, because we interviewed a lot of fans for the documentary, and it was like everyone had all these wacky ideas for who was running it, and I thought that was great. So because yeah, for the fans, definitely, like they didn't know, that people just watching the channel had no clue who was running it. So yeah, it was always, and again, because there was internet, but there wasn't really like internet like now, so you couldn't kind of do deep dives into what who was doing what and things. So yeah, it was always a bit of a secret.
I'm just reading on the information you sent over that there was some fun stories of technical issues of running the channel.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us what some of those might have been?
Yeah, I mean, probably one that is quite fun, and actually get more of that because we're doing a DVD release, and we've got some like extra bits on it. But there is a bit where talking about kind of like the what is it, the watershed thing, so having to blur certain bits at certain moments, and there were a lot of technical issues where the blur would sort of stay in place, but the thing they wanted to blur would just sort of go in and out of the blur. So they were all quite funny. And yeah, just lots of things with them, like the way that they input things and the channel sort of going down and stuff. It was all felt very kind of rough around the edges. But from what we've heard from the fans, I think that's what they kind of enjoyed about it in a way, is that you could tell that it was being run by people that didn't know what they were doing. So yeah, I think that was pretty good.
And what's so obviously, I was going to say kind of why did you decide to do the documentary, but obviously your dad was involved and you were involved with the quality control. But what was the kind of the first steps, I would say, to kind of getting the filming of the documentary and kind of the concept together? What did you have to do for that?
Yes, I mean, I think like when I really like managed to sort of convince my dad was we like I was on a set actually, and someone was wearing a Whitmore t-shirt that I was working
Okay.
on. Yeah, and I just went up to it, like, because it's like kind of you. I'm a department of one, so I'm always looking for a reason to make friends with other people on set. So I was
Right.
like, a lot of the time, if they've got a good band t-shirt on, it's a good starting point. And because it was Whitmore, I said, "Oh, my dad actually used to run the channel like that." And then instantly, the guy just went, "Well, what, P Rock TV?" And like, I just knew it straight away. And obviously, this is like 20 years after the fact now and stuff. So I told him when I got back, I was like, I didn't even need to prompt the guy; he just knew exactly what I was talking about. And then we did like Googling afterwards, and there's like Reddit pages and YouTube videos, like what happened to it and things. So that was finally I could sort of present all of that. And then we could start making it. And then there are like proper it's podcasts, I did air quotes, proper ways of doing like funding for films. So I did all these like big applications on how to get, get money and things. And they were like, just crazy large applications that we didn't get any of them, and it was a bit like so then it was like, okay, well it's DIY, I have the kit, let's just like start doing it. So I just and we, because it all kind of ended quite abruptly, everybody lost touch with each other. So we didn't have Russell, didn't have any of the bands, didn't have like anybody basically. My starting point was just my dad, and that was it. So it was about then we started doing like quite big Instagram call outs to get people on board. I mean, like you said, we wanted the fans, and we wanted the bands that had been on the channel, and then to find Russell. And then sadly, Lowell, that used to run the channel, we found out passed away. So he wasn't able to be a part of it, but which was a shame. But we were able then to find Russell. And then we had lots of the bands come forward. And I run a film education company, and I was able from that to pay a student of mine to help me with research. And I was like, okay, if you want to make all these posts and then put them out and see if anyone replies. And we had like 100 emails in the first week, and she was a bit like, what am I supposed to
Oh,
do? I was like, oh,
wow. What's
yeah,
next?
no, I was like, well, yeah, just go through and read them and see what's, we don't have to get back to all 100. But yeah, so it was pretty like crazy that straight off the bat that like people were super interested and like sending emails saying, oh, I can't wait to see what happened and all that kind of thing. And then yeah, everyone just sort of started coming out, all the bands started getting in touch. We did loads of research interviews as well with like like record labels as well, like Deck Cheese and things. Even though they weren't in the doc, I managed to just sort of get a full picture of everything that was going on at the time and stuff. And then I think because we put those posts out and it felt like there was a big, excitement, it then felt like we had a timestamp to make the doc a lot quicker than maybe you would normally make a doc. So then it was sort of from that point onwards, it was about a year and a half until it was finished. But that was basically kind of what it was. And then what I found while doing it is obviously really getting and talking to these bands and the sort of DIY, you're the promoter, you're the, you kind of do everything for your band. I was like, oh, it's really like fitting actually then that I was like, all right, I'll just do everything for this film then. And then that was sort of how it kind of progressed, and it became like a very fun kind of, right, what have we got access to? How do we kind of make this? Because the other thing was that we didn't have any footage of them running the channel or any photos or anything. So it's like, how do we show that and figure that out? And I tried really hard to see if there was any like photos or videos of people watching the channel, like even just one where it was like on in the TV in the background. There was none of that. So it's sort of like then figuring out the ways to show that kind of aspect as well. But yeah, it felt like the best way actually to have made the film. So I think weirdly, if we'd got the money at the beginning and then I had some big corporation, telling me how to make it and stuff, it probably wouldn't have been. I bet the bands wouldn't have got on board with it if I was like, the BBC, or I shouldn't say the BBC, at the moment. if like a big company was helping me make it or something. So yeah, I think actually it worked out for the best that we didn't get any of that money. I mean, it was a lot more hard work for me, but like I enjoyed it, so it's fine.
Yeah, and so it took a year and a half, you just said, right, to kind of film it all. Is that like, I guess this is more of a kind of generic documentary question, but is that kind of a normal amount of time Like, it sounds like a long time to me, but then the other part of my mind says, actually, that's not very long at all to kind of pull all this together.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I think the most documentaries, the quickest people normally do them is about 2 years, and that is very fast. But
Okay.
so yeah, it's quite fast really to sort of get it all done. But again, it depends on the project. I think, you know, so I know people that have made documentaries for 7 years, but it's because like it's an ongoing story and you haven't got your conclusion yet kind of thing. So
Okay, right.
documentary is the one where like it could literally just go on for like ever if you wanted to. But at least for this, it's like the story had concluded because it all ended in 2003. So you at least kind of had that framework to work with. But yeah, it's quite quick, especially if you don't have like a team as well. Like it was, like I definitely had some people come on and help me, like some editors and an animator and things. But yeah, it's still quite quick considering it was mostly me doing a lot of it.
Okay. And what happened at the end? Why did the channel get, was it shut down or was it
Yeah, it was sort of
what
shut down. I mean, they pulled the plug on it, but it was basically like they'd pissed a lot of people off at Sky. They'd
Okay.
pissed a lot of people off at Kerrang! And a lot of other places. There was something going on with a channel that they wanted to bring out, and it was a thing of like I think they'd pissed too many people off for them to like ask if they wanted to collaborate with P-Rock. So it was just more about trying to flush them out. And they weren't able to get the finances to come in anymore, and then it just had to sort of go. So that was basically it, really. We go into more detail in the docs, so I don't want to give them away, but
Yeah, of course, that's
that is
the ending.
basically the brunt of it. Is they tried very hard to get it up and running, but like basically it was just they pissed too many people off.
Bravo, I
Yeah,
say.
exactly.
Well done.
Rightly so.
Good work.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Much my approach with the Emo Dad podcast. I'm sorry, Matt. Sorry,
Yeah.
Matt. Just saying that now. So it says it, right? I don't want to give the ending away either, right? Because also we don't know, we haven't seen it. So tell me if I am giving away the end. But it says something about reluctance of advertisers, right? Now, who's advertising? Part of my day job is advertising. Who's advertising on P-Rot? Because it's not.
So
Is it going to be like? Because we don't have like Hot Topic, or like I don't know Vans. Or I can't really imagine like Nike calling up and going, oh, we're going to sell basketball shirts. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was basically, so at that point, nobody
Oh.
was advertising on P-Rock. So it was about that they'd got such a large viewership that they were starting to reach out, and there was interest from particular, big brands, like American brands as well. Because basically, if you
Oh.
get enough, it's the same with YouTube. If you get enough viewers, they don't care who you are because you're an audience. Like they're going to bring
Correct.
an audience to their brand. So there were meetings and things were going to happen, and then it all just went away. And it was very much like don't know why, but have good assumption that it was the people that don't like them telling them not to advertise with them. So
Oh,
that was basically
interesting.
it. But yeah, there were some big players that were going to advertise on P-Rock, but yeah, that was the main reason actually. That was one of the finances that ended up going away. So.
Because it is such an, it's such a 2002, 2003, it's such a weird time in the music industry because the money had just like, was just about to or was falling straight out of it because people were starting to LimeWire and all the rest of it was just starting to be a big deal and really affecting. Like, you've got a lot of record labels going under around this time and all that kind of stuff. Did that, was there, was they involved in any of that, or was it too short for that, all that to sort of make an impact?
I think it was probably a bit too short. And I think actually
Yeah.
because they were video-based content, I think
Yeah.
like the whole LimeWire thing, because actually a part of the interest is like for British people at least, they felt that they didn't know what NoFX really looked like. I mean, you obviously you see some live things and stuff, but like there is this thing of like seeing the music video that you've never seen before, and that's like what the visual representation they wanted for that song, and that was kind of exciting to people. And I think really what would have stuffed them if they stayed around long enough would have been YouTube, because because everyone would have just put their music videos out there and that would have been it. But yeah, I don't think LimeWire had an impact. And yeah, again, it wasn't they weren't around probably enough to really know if that did. But yeah.
What did you like the bands that were on the channel, you personally? I know you were probably, you said you're
Yeah,
only 7 years
I did.
old.
Yeah, I mean, I was Avril Lavigne was on. I loved Avril Lavigne, but
Okay.
I've for now found out later that that was a very big point of contention for everybody at B-Rock, that they didn't think that like she was a little bit bubblegum or something. But
Okay.
I think actually it was it was a great choice at the end, because it sort of I would listen to Avril Lavigne, then I'd like and then Farce would be on afterwards, and I was like, oh, this is like cool, but I probably wouldn't have like engaged so much. Like I would run back in the living room if Avril Lavigne came on, and then maybe I'd stay for a couple of extra songs afterwards and then go off and do something else and have a break for a bit. But yeah, I mean, I was a big, and actually I've become like doing the doc and things, like really kind of reconnect. And for me, there's like that sense of nostalgia now, which there is for anyone that kind of watches the channel really. And you all have your favorites, because there was some more like hardcore stuff on there, and the more rocky things and stuff. But I think for me, it's like the ska punk. Like I love like the Sponge and King Prawn and Solar Beat Alliance. They were probably my kind of favorites from it. And my Boss Tones as well. So they're probably my like top picks from P Rock, because I love trumpets and things.
Fair enough, fair
Yeah.
enough. And is that, do you enjoy that sort of music now or since then? Or is that, is your kind of, what's your go-to music? Is it this type of music or is it something else?
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, I think my two, they're very opposite, is like just day-to-day life is definitely this kind of music. So I absolutely love the Hives.
Okay.
But kind of I've got like my driving to work or getting myself psyched for work playlist is basically all like P-Rock and Sponge. And but then there's great new bands as well, like Faintest Idea and Fidget and the Twitchers and stuff like that I really like as well. But then I think probably the other end of the spectrum is if I have to do work, I just put film scores on. So it's quite the opposite of like if I have to sit down and concentrate, I'm just like the Finding Nemo theme or like the
Okay.
Pirates of the Caribbean. But basically, like most of Hans Zimmer's work, like is my go-to. So yeah, they're probably the two ends of the spectrum for me.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And are there any bands that you nearly got onto the documentary but didn't quite get over the line, that you kind of sad that you didn't manage to get on there?
Yeah, I mean the biggest one was probably NoFX, because they were totally up for doing an interview,
Oh, really?
and it was just like. They were only in the UK for like a very short time, and it was like their farewell tour, and we just couldn't quite like scheduling wise make it work, and the same with Farce. Like Aid from Farce was totally up for doing it, but like because we'd set ourselves this deadline, it was basically if we couldn't quite make it work. So I think they were probably the two that they were such major players for the channel. It would have been really cool to have had them on there. And we did get like a nice email from Green Day's management.
Oh, wow.
Just saying like sounds cool, but we don't know what it is basically. I just didn't know that there was. So I was like, fair enough. So yeah, that was quite, I kind of like, it would have been my dream would have been to literally just have Green Day on camera for like 2 seconds, go like, I don't know what P-Rock is, and then just cut away. And that was
That
it for
could be
them.
like your opening scene.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been great. But no, that wasn't quite it. So yeah, I think it was just the NoFX and Farce really. But everyone else that was in it was is great. Like it we had King Prawn, and we have all Sponge and Forfeit. So we got like most of the major players that were on the channel, and also they really had like a connection with it as well. Like they all watched the channel for fun as well as like being on it and all that kind of thing. So they had some really great stories of sort of being a part of P-Rock, and also just the doc kind of encompasses that whole scene at the time as well. Like the kind of one of the fans says like we're sort of the first generation with social media, but the last without it. So that kind of like pivotal moment as well of how everyone interacted, and we kind of cover all of that those kind of things within the doc as well. So I think it is a really interesting transitional time for music and stuff. So yeah, no, I think I can't remember the question. That was enough talking. Yeah.
So you've been doing some live screenings and shows, right? Have the bands been playing or talking?
Yeah, so we've had for the sort of going back to the beginning where we didn't really get the funding at the beginning, the sort of normal trajectory for a film like this is to send it to film festivals. That costs a lot of money. And if you haven't already got that backing at the beginning, you're very unlikely to then get into the film festivals afterwards. And I tried one, which was quite a big one called Sheffield Dot Fest, but we didn't get into that. So I think after that we were just like, well, let's just self-distribute. So we did pop up cinemas in music venues and then put local bands on afterwards. So not bands from the film, but like up and coming, established within the scene, but like more new gen bands and the bands that were actually on P-Rock and things like that. So it was really cool. Like we'd sort of like have the film on and we'd rip the screen down and there'd be a band on behind them, and we did a new yeah, I really wanted to like figure out a way that they could like burst through the screen, but we never quite managed to do that in the end. But we also did like for the credits, we did a local band song on the credits at each gig as well.
Ah,
And
cool.
then some of them, if we didn't have a band, we put on the old archive afterwards, and everyone would just sort of sit and watch it like they were teenagers again on the TV, which was quite cool. And yeah, it was interesting. It was like probably the closest I'll ever be to being in a band, because you'll just turn up to these venues. You've got no clue what the tech gear is, but you just have to sort of start plugging into it. And then, and there's all these like issues, and you don't really know if anyone's going to turn up. And one screening you'll have like 45 people there, and the next you'll have 10, and it's quite interesting. And I felt it gave me a lot of respect for bands, because unlike a band, if I feel like people aren't enjoying the film, I can just leave. But obviously, if like you're a band up there, like you kind of still have to carry on. But I have done it as well. There was a screening the other day where like most of the people were late. I mean, we had like 15 in the end, but like at the actual beginning of the film, there was four, and I was like, "Hello, everybody!" But it's good. It's like you have a real understanding, and actually, it was always better, because I think film festivals can be a bit like it's all just people that want to buy films, and they all just like trying to kill a couple of hours before they go to a more important meeting, where like this got it in front of the people that really wanted to watch it. And we had like lots of nice things saying like, these are the venue, this was the venue they came to when they were a teenager to see these bands, and now it's cool to like come back and watch the documentary about how they discovered them in the same place and stuff. So yeah, it worked out again for the better. More hard work, but for the better.
Yeah, I used to put on shows a long time ago now. So what you just said resonated with me quite a lot. It's like people talking about back lines and amps and things. I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I had to Google what a backline is. The first band asked me, and I was like, I will check.
Yeah,
Never
what
got
was it?
back to them.
Who will be providing the back line? It's like,
Yeah.
what? What are you talking
Yeah.
about? You will be providing the back line.
Yeah,
Have you got
it's interesting. It's a
any
learning curve.
Yeah, exactly. You got any questions, James, before we kind of finish up?
Well, I
No,
was
he's got
gonna
a whole
ask.
list.
No, no. I was just gonna pitch you a P-Rock Moonscar Festival, but you've already done it. Like, so that's a shame. So I didn't know about
Yeah.
that. So I'd already created it in my head. So
Oh,
that's
I'm sorry.
fine.
We can do
No,
round two.
it's fine. Whilst you were there, I was just like, the thing about a ska scene is the names of these bands, wild.
Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely wild. And I was just having a nice time looking up who was on Moonscar and some of the names of some of these bands. It was fun. Like Uncle Brian was one of
Yeah.
the bands. Uncle Brian's a good time. It's a good time. I'd recommend that for anybody to just have a little look around and laugh at ska band names because it's good. Also, I would say, in the age of Google, don't call your band King Prawn. It's not helpful. Type in King Prawn and you just get recipes. So maybe spell it differently or put another word in. That's my
Yeah, true.
review of the band name King Prawn.
It's better
And
than
as
calling your
Matt,
band A.
yeah, also bad
Yeah, hey.
for Google. If you, yeah, so that is a service Emo Dad offers, naming bands. If anybody's out there and wants to be involved, that is something we provide. So Matt, no, that
Isn't
wasn't a question. That was just me talking, and I'm going to shut up again.
thoughts of the day.
Thanks. Thanks.
So what are your plans for the doc going forward? Are there any more kind of shows lined up or plans
Yes.
to screen it in other places?
So we have a DVD launch party, which I just
Okay.
found out today sold out.
Oh,
But
great.
it's with Sponge talking about good band names. Stankfinger is another
Oh
band,
my God.
and Everyone Lies is the other band. So that's where we're launching the DVD, and then we've got three screenings after that, which will be the final screenings before you can only get it on DVD. And then the next trajectory for it is the profits from the DVD will go into creating a P-Rock TV live sessions YouTube channel where we'll go around and film live sessions with up and coming bands, as well as the bands that were from the channel that are up for doing it, and also covers and all that kind of thing. And it all kind of, we're trying to create like a Radio One, but for, you know, pop punk and ska and stuff. So that would be the
Interesting.
next
Because if
kind
you
of
need
trajectory.
two DJs for your channel, if you want two absolutely anarchic professional presenters, don't ask us because we're
Okay,
awful.
good.
But if you do, we're here, we're
Yeah.
available,
Great.
very cheap rates of nothing, and we're in, we're signed up
Great.
already.
Great. I'll note
Rico's
that.
Yeah, Rico's Chaos Hour. I'm just live pitching you this. It's just gonna be me doing this to poor people. Whoever's like just inviting bands on, and then I talk to them, just whatever's on my mind, and they have to listen.
Oh,
That's the show.
that's
So, all
great.
right,
Yeah.
good.
Good.
Tick for James's pitch. I'm joking now, thank you.
was gonna say, so basically, I can see what you're doing here. You're basically bringing it back, right?
Yeah. But it's like you can't, people, if someone makes a music video, they want it on their own YouTube channel, and they've put a lot of
Yeah.
effort in, and they should have that. But it's kind of, think of that way of having a one space where you can go and kind of find that stuff like you did with P-Rock, but you're also creating something new. So then it's like, they can still have their music videos, and then we'll have the live sessions thing. So yeah, it's sort of our little way of trying to bring it back.
So P Rock podcasts, P Rock interviews, P Rock gig reviews. I can see this. I can see this world blowing
P-Rock
up.
presents Emo Dad. Just
Yeah.
say, like in Wayne's World, where they have
Yes.
like the corporate version
Yeah.
of Wayne's World, where like they've
Yeah.
got like a full, that's what I want. I'm
Yeah.
just saying, I want
Say the.
not this version. I want the big studio version with
Oh.
like an announcer and stuff, and
Nice.
that's what is that something we could discuss
Yeah, we could
in the
discuss
future?
that. Yeah,
Okay.
it'd be
Okay, good.
the P-Rock multiverse with the Emo Dad multiverse, like
Yes.
the full on
Crossover.
Marvel crossover
Yeah.
multiverse. Yeah.
We can do cameos. That's a
Yep.
thing we're available for. We can like be like adjusting microphones in the background
Yeah,
whilst you're
like a proper
putting
Stan
bands
Lee
on.
kind of cameo.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. That's what we're available for. Yeah, okay,
Yeah.
good. Okay, good.
James just dreams of hosting a podcast from a couch. I think that's all James wants to do.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, I don't want to leave my house. I just want to make that clear. But I am available for all other content.
Yeah.
So the people that have been listening and they want to see the documentary, did I don't think you said when the DVD is out. Is that soon?
The 29th of November.
Oh, okay, very soon. Nice.
Yeah.
So, and how do people go about obtaining this DVD?
So it'll be prockthedoc.co.uk. We do, if you can make it down to one of the last screenings, and we're doing it discounted at a screening. So all the details will be on the website, prockthedoc.co.uk.
Okay, cool. And I'm assuming if it doesn't already exist, there'll soon be a YouTube channel.
Yes, yeah. It doesn't exist yet, but it will be once we've sold some DVDs, then that will all start running. But it's in development, so
Brilliant. Excellent.
have you reserved the name?
I believe so.
Good, because I just wanted to, anyone who was getting clever,
Yeah.
I know our audience, right?
Yeah.
I know our audience. Just for lols, I could see you typing it in to register it. Stop it. Stop it. Don't do that. Just wanted to like just watch
Yeah.
our little scumbags that sometimes
Our
listen to them.
scumbag
Funny.
Amazing. Well, I cannot wait to watch this. Is there any kind of last thoughts you want to leave us with, or I should leave the listeners with, for what to look out for in the future, obviously, on
Yeah,
top of
just
the bits that you said.
yeah, just to keep an eye on our socials, and thanks to everyone that's come out and supported it already, and look forward to any future support you may want to give.
And
And
money.
thanks for this, and thanks to you guys, and money, any money you want to give me, I'll take it.
No
And thanks to you guys for having me on the podcast.
worries. It's been a pleasure chatting. Like I said, genuinely super excited to watch this. Have to get my hands on a DVD. Actually, I need to get a DVD player. That's something to think
Oh,
about.
yeah. I got one. Don't worry, mate.
James has
We'll
got one.
sort it.
Okay, good.
Great. Fine. We're happy with big friendship meetups to watch the DVD. That's all good.
Yeah, that
Get
might
all the
be nice,
friends
actually.
round.
Yeah. But I'll have to leave my house, but I'm sure I can do it. Yes, thank you so much for chatting to us. I was hoping the video would sort of sway with you being on a boat, but sadly that didn't happen.
Yeah. No, it's quite quiet on the river. Sometimes that does happen, but there's nobody out today. It's quite rainy,
What,
so yeah,
w
very
without
stable.
giving away your exact location, because that would be a silly thing to do on a podcast, what
Oh, yeah,
river are you on?
the Thames.
The Thames. Okay, that's quite vague.
Yes, long one,
Yeah,
the Thames.
the Thames could be very long. Yeah, it does.
Favorite lock.
The favorite lock. Padlock. No.
Good, strong. That's a good one. Now leave it there. That's good. That worked really well. No, I like that a lot. That was good. Yeah, good answer. Yeah, good.
Right, amazing. Thank you, Alex, for
No, thank
chatting to
you.
us, and we will look forward to seeing the doc.
Great. Thank you for having
Brilliant.
me.
Take
See you
care.
later.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye bye. Absolutely outstanding. Mugging off my final question.
Yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed that. It was 5 star. That was a good, great. It's lovely, lovely, Alex. Really enjoyed that. That was really good and very exciting. That we've got another little, the Emo Dad podcast will be produced on another platform soon.
She didn't 100% commit to that, James. Calm down.
Did she? Oh, that's not what I heard. Not
James is already planning
what
his
I heard.
new TV show.
No, I've just should I not have just resigned? Because I've just done that. I've
He
just
sent
I
his
just
boss
resigned.
an
I
email. Hi, boss. Good news and bad news. The bad news
resigned.
is, sadly, this is my notice. The good news is I've got a presenting job on TV.
Yeah, funnily enough, I think my boss might think that the good news and the bad news are reversed for them.
And then
Good news, I'm off, so you won't have to deal with this anymore. Bad news, I'll be on TV shortly.
yeah. And then a month later, dear ex-boss, TV show didn't happen in the end.
Yeah, turns out I didn't listen to the words. I listened to the words I wanted to hear, not the words that were actually said.
If you did have a little 30-minute
Yes.
weekly TV show on P-Rock.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Rico's Hour of Chaos. Told you.
No, I said
It's.
half an hour.
Oh, Rico's Half Hour of Chaos.
Is that it? Is that
Yeah, basically, it would be composed of. I'd have. There'd be a guest. They wouldn't get to say a lot, but they'd be there.
example, top three guests.
Lily Allen. I don't know.
Kate
Random as
Bash.
possible. Random as possible,
So
right?
irrelevant to
Just
the situation.
irrelevant to the situation. Just get him in. Like just someone completely nuts each week, and then we just have chaos for 15 minutes. There would be some form of competitive sport. So much
Okay.
like that German channel that I've been sending you clips of, there'd be like competitive shopping trolley parking, or like
Pin the tail on the donkey.
something absolute carnage to finish the show with. And then in the middle, there would be like a live band performance,
Oh, like TFI Friday.
just like TFI Friday. And I'd have a house band too. And we'd have a bit of, there'd be some like interplay and chaos with the house band. And then also I'd like pre-record some skits. It's a late night chat show is what it is. I pre-record some like sketches that would have
Okay.
been done during the week when I would create some characters, and like that would be a thing that we'd then throw in the middle, and that would be Rico's Half Hour of Chaos every Wednesday night at 11:30 p.m.
At 2 in the morning.
Yeah, two in the two in the morning. So part Eurotrash, part what was the Dove from Above show called with Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer?
Oh, bloody hell. Cut.
Everyone's shouting at the radio right
Oh
now.
my God. It'll come to me in a minute.
Dove from Shooting Stars.
That's it. Shooting
Part
Stars.
Shooting Stars, part TFI Friday, part David Letterman. That's the pitch. I'm just gonna put that out into the universe, right? And we'll just see
Manifest.
when I get the contract to do it.
You wait
Alex, just
for the
saying.
email.
Just saying.
He wants a
Just
contract
saying.
now.
Well, Matt, you're my agent, so it's gonna
Am
have to
I?
go through you.
I take 50% of all earnings, and I'm not responsible for any percent of all losses. And or lawsuits.
That's good. So that's our
Terms and
current
conditions apply.
contract. Our current contract is still valid
Yeah.
then.
I'm part of it if it goes well. I'm nothing to do with it if it goes bad.
Yeah. Well,
I was
as
not
we all
there.
know, 50% of zero is still zero. So that's maths. So.
Or in our case, 50% of zero is about minus
Yeah,
three
500 pounds
grand.
a month. Right, should we do the notices and then I can go and lie down?
Yes, we can do the notices. Smallest child found a really good computer game playlist,
Ah, thanks, smallest child.
which I've got here. So I've got loads of games now.
And I am definitely going to go and check out, what was it she said? Spank finger.
Skank finger, isn't
Oh, I wrote spank. Is it skank? Is it skank? Skank
Oh, should we have a
finger.
quick blast of that before we, because we haven't
So
played any music.
my work computer won't let me search skank
Skank finger.
finger.
That's not coming up. Maybe it was stank.
No, with a
Stank.
P.
Stank finger with a T.
Oh.
You want a bit of that quickly
Yeah,
before
why
we
not?
finish?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Here it comes. Brace yourself.
That's getting a save. I enjoyed
That's
that.
quite good, isn't it? A name that not only pokes fun at the grimy underbelly of their hometown, but also simultaneously pays homage to some of their influences. One guess?
What, for what?
The influence.
Staring. Less than Jake.
Goldfinger, obviously.
No.
you were joking.
I was doing it funny. And I like the way that their photo shoot is the lads in a purple bin. It's good. Well done. Well done, all. No notes.
Right, anyway, back to the thing. Here we go.
Yes. Hello, and thank you for listening to the Emo Dad Podcast. I want to talk like this for some reason. I don't know why. Listen or watch the Emo Dad Podcast on all streaming platforms. You can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Oh, that's it. Send us an email on our Dusty email account if you too have a documentary you want to talk about on this podcast, or hire us to present TV shows. emodadpodcast@gmail.com. Buy a t-shirt to replace the money we sink into this thing. Actually, we don't make any money from them, so that's fine. Links in the bio. Do you want to make friends with other people who will find the name Stankfinger funny? If so, go onto our Discord and make some friends. Tip jar, give us some money. And that's it, I think.
That's it.
It would have been good if I'd finished on da 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 da.
Oh.
But we didn't quite get it balanced.
Oh.
Sorry, excuse me. Bit gassy. Gassy today. Bit gassy.
Very good. Well done. Great.
Another one in the bag. Another one in the bag. Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen. I've been James.
I've been Matt. And we will see you very soon.